For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey there, everyone. It's Denise Salcedo. Welcome back to the channel. I'm very excited to introduce to you my guest for today. He is headed to AEW Double or Nothing to challenge for the International Championship. Ladies and gents, we got none other than Will Ospreay. Will, welcome back to the channel. How are you?
I am doing wonderful, my love. Vegas hasn't chewed me up and spit me out yet, so feel like I'm doing all right. Eh? What about yourself? You good?
I'm doing good. I'm going to be at Double or Nothing this week, so I'm very excited. I'm already seeing that you're in Las Vegas, so I'm like, dang, I'm getting into the spirit already. I can't wait for the show. It's going to be a good one. So, Will, you know, the last time that you and I spoke, it was about 4 months ago, and we were, you know, you were still not full-time with AEW. You were headed that direction, but a lot has changed in the last 4 months. I want to start off with, what has the experience been like for you being full-time with AEW?
I mean, I've been enjoying it. Like, coming over, I was super nervous because, once again, like, I was always putting my foot on the brake with coming over to America, just because there is like an anxiety behind it. I've always enjoyed just the small England or Japan. So coming over, America's so big, and just honestly a bit overwhelmed and taken away of how well the fans have taken to me and like how much I've really been enjoying myself doing all of this, really.
I know, it's been so cool to just see how many more fans you've accumulated, because I was going to say, you already came with so many freaking fans and a lot of people that were really excited to see you in AEW, but it feels like now it's grown even more. So do you feel that, like, when you are, like, do you feel the change, the shift in energy with how many more fans you have now?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I'll be honest with you, I was talking to Kyle about this, and I generally didn't realize the reach that I did have. Like, just because, once again, like, I've never really been on another person's show. I've literally just been doing stuff over in Japan, and, like, I mean, I've dipped my toes into America with when I've done, like, a bit of Ring of Honor and I've done a bit of TNA. But realistically wise, like, I only kind of, like, just done pop shots for AEW, but I guess I made enough of an impact of where people at least remember what I did. But now coming over, I feel like there's a shift in momentum now. And I do feel like the support is behind me fully. So I'm grateful for it, really.
No, I think so, man. Like, it's been so cool to just see you, like, you know, really embrace AEW. And one of the things that I loved, Will, is seeing you go out there and cut, like, all of these promos. What has that been like for you? Because that's something that you're doing a lot more continuously now in AEW.
Honestly, I would not put me down as a promo guy. I still don't in some ways, because I'm still learning. Where my, like, ADHD's been, like, a constant thing. Like, I've always had problem with eye contact. I'm really trying to avoid eye contact quite a lot, so I'm really doing my best to try and work on that and, like, really harnessing on it and really focusing on it. But, like, the fact that I'm doing okay at them, I wouldn't say I'm doing, like, incredible, but I would say that I'm doing better than what I expected. So, like, I am quite proud of myself for that, just because I've never been a promo guy. I've never even tried to hide that I'm a promo guy. But, like, I feel like I'm getting a lot better at them.
No, I've been really digging your promos. And actually, I wanted to bring one up in particular. And it was the one where you called Roderick Strong a bellend. Now, obviously, I had, like, no idea what that meant when you actually said it. So I was one of those people that had to Google it and I couldn't stop laughing. So, like, I actually have a random question for you. But, like, when you think of, like, the best British UK slang words, which ones are your favorites?
There's some I can't say because I get cancelled. Hey, like, Bellend is, I think Bellend's the best one. Fucking hell. Honestly, a lot of the times I watch, like, there's a show in England called In Between Us, and I just watch that and I just take off like little things from there, and I just think they're funny little words, but like I can't say the other ones because I feel like I might get cancelled, eh? So I'm gonna leave them alone.
Well, I'll keep listening to some of the ones that you throw in on your promos, and I'll be there. I'll be ready to Google. I'm going to use whatever you use now to insult whenever I need to insult somebody. So it was really funny, though. No, but I've been really liking what you've been doing in terms of the promos and stuff on AEW. So I do want to talk a little bit about, you know, some of the changes that we've seen, too, when it comes to your travel schedule. You and I have spoken about this before, where you were already used to traveling across the world, doing your thing. But now it's a little bit, I'm assuming, a little bit different from AEW, straight home, back and forth and back and forth. How are you getting used to those flights now? And how different is it, or how similar is it to what you were already doing?
I mean, I think the similarities were like, well, I'm always on a flipping plane, it's a similarity. But like with Japan, it was like, it got to the 15 hours at one point on an aeroplane. And like, although it's not as bad, but I would stay in Japan for 2-3 weeks. I would essentially live out of a bag over there, when over here now it's kind of like a pop in and a pop out. So like, I'm constantly jet lagged. I won't lie to you. Every single day I'm jet lagged. But like, I think it's kind of funny that I'm one of the best wrestlers in the world and I'm just constantly jet lagged. So like, it's, that's obviously one of the things. But like, I will say that I find it a lot easier. It's a lot better mentally for me, knowing that like most Sundays, most weekends, I'm at home in my bed with my missus, or like I'm dropping off my kid at school. So for me, like I'm happier mentally, and I feel like physically I'm doing some of the best work that I've done. I just, yeah, there isn't much difference, but it's just in terms of the flights are way more frequent.
Yeah, and especially, and I'm assuming for pay-per-view weekends, like you just stay the entire week because there's no point in flying back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, this time's real nice because I got my missus here with me this time around, so I thought like it'd be nice to do Vegas all together. So like, there's no point in me going home if like, for example, like, because what was it? I came in Tuesday night, I wrestled Wednesday, Thursday to myself, got Friday to myself, Saturday collision, Sunday's the pay-per-view. There's no point in me going home because by the time I go home Monday, it'll be Tuesday. Then I'd have to fly back on Tuesday to wrestle again Wednesday. So there's no point. I might as well stay. And by the time Dynamite's done and maybe Collision's done, like I'll go home back to England. So then I get days at home. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, it's so much more of like a mental relief just to say that like I get to actually be home in my own country with my own, with my two fat pugs, my three cats, and just enjoying life.
Yeah, so it's nice that you get to have your family out there, especially for Las Vegas, because then it just adds that little extra, like, oh, like they're out there, they're watching me in person. It gives you that little extra boost while you're there. So that's definitely nice.
It's super nice as well because my missus was just popping over. She's got like a little indie show that she was doing for the, I think it's like Lucha Libre Republic. And then Tony found out she was here and just gave her a spot on Rampage. And I was just like, I'm dead chuffed with her and I'm proper proud of her. I was, oh, honestly, like the smile on my face right now is like, it will never come off. Honestly, I feel so good.
Oh my God, that is so freaking awesome. It kind of just like all worked out together. That's really cool. And you know, I've obviously seen a lot of Alex and getting to see you like support her, obviously, as your wife. You guys just have such an awesome relationship. And both as working professional wrestlers, I don't know, how is that life when you're both doing the exact same thing and you both have such busy, crazy schedules?
I mean, it's so much better now that I can be home at the weekends, because I guess she's still finding her footing in terms of, she's just done New Japan. I've now just done AEW. Like, she wants to go do more. She's got a US work visa now, so she gets to go over. So it'd almost be like sometimes I would land and then she'd have to go. But it's almost like taking like turns, like looking after the kid as well. But like, the support that she's given me and the support that I give her, like, we're unmatched, man. Like, we work so well as a team. I love her dearly, and I'm just like, I'm proper proud of her, and I'm chuffed to bits for her that she's actually spreading her wings in pro wrestling and really getting the start that she deserves.
I love that, man. That is so awesome just to see you guys like support each other in this crazy world of professional wrestling. I do want to go ahead and talk about your match with Bryan Danielson. Now, I can imagine everybody's been asking you about it so much because it truly was just a freaking spectacular. Now, Will, getting to be there and watch this match live, I will tell you from a fan's perspective, I do not remember the last time a crowd erupted that way. The second you two got into the ring and the bell rang, it was insane. Will, I know there's so many different questions I can ask about this, but I want to start off with that specific moment. Did you think that that was going to be the reaction that you guys were going to get?
I don't honestly know anymore these days, because every time I still feel like I'm working things out, there seems to be things that just pop up and it's not a surprise anymore, or it doesn't feel like I'm... The way that I put it is, when I done the Kenny match and when I done the Jericho match, I felt like I was punching up for ages. I've always felt like I'm working upwards. And when I finally got in the ring with Danielson, I've never felt more like, nah, I feel like I'm on your level now. I feel like I'm meant to be here. I feel like I'm just like the guys that I used to watch when it was like AJ Styles, or if it was like Samoa Joe, or like Daniels, or Danielson, or Nigel McGuinness. Like, I felt like I was one of those guys. And for the first time, I remember looking at him, and I remember saying, like, this is going to be a pleasure. And I remember going back and the moment the bell ringing. And for me, it's always those first 5 minutes. The first 5 minutes, if I feel like there's something that was a misstep, or if I like that wasn't right, but like, I feel like it was the moment we had our first proper standoff, I generally felt like, okay, we're about to do something special.
Oh my God. Well, I can't even like, it was this this journey, this like roller coaster of emotions, just watching you guys do everything that you did. And for you, like when you're getting ready to go into a match and there's everybody talking in all directions about like, you know, just people getting excited about it. Did you feel like any like, oh man, like we really got to live to the hype, or were you just going into it like feeling 100% positive? Because sometimes, you know, pressure and stuff like that can sometimes get to you depending on, you know, who you are.
I mean, yeah, honestly, I felt the pressure with that one just because everyone was going to call it, this is the greatest match that's ever going to happen. So like straight away when people do that, it's like, that's a hard bar to try and clear. Do you know what I fucking mean? Like give us something a little bit lower than, but like, I felt like we hit the bar. I feel like, I'll be honest with you, I felt like we pushed it off, and I just couldn't help but feel like this is one of those matches where, like, I'm going to remember this for a very long time. The bar was super high. I felt like we hit it. I felt like the detail that I was putting into my brain when it came to thinking of, like, a strategy for this match was just... I was putting under so much, like, pressure. But, like, after the match was done, and it was just one of those moments where I feel like people are going to remember this match for a very long time.
Yeah, man. Oh my God. So as a wrestler, you know, when you have like certain chemistry with somebody, you know, when things are just like flowing and connecting. What was it like, and how different was it to be in a ring with somebody like Bryan Danielson, given that you've wrestled pretty much just about everybody and anybody?
It's hard, eh? Because like, I try and look at it from like a fan perspective, eh? And I've just been stuck in Japan for ages. I mean, when Kenny left, I guess me and Jay stepped into Kenny's spot in New Japan. I guess I just became like the work rate guy in that, where I would put on these like incredible bell-to-bell matches. And I guess it's kind of similar to what Danielson used to do when he would travel to Mexico or Ring of Honor or anywhere. He would just put on these matches. So, and I had it in my head that I would never ever wrestle Bryan Danielson, just because I watched him retire and I watched him come back. So by the time he came back, I was a little bit like, okay, well, he's not going to be clear to wrestle anywhere but this company. And then for him to leave this company and come to AEW, there's a chance. And I've never felt more like, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know it will happen one day. And when it does, like, I want to be the best version of myself that I can physically be. And I just don't think you could have put it into like better timing. I just feel like that the timing was absolutely perfect. And to have this moment and to have that moment with him where, like, I can't tell you enough how much I respect him. I admire him as a person. And I just, his career, his longevity, is something just to be idolized, but who he is backstage as well is something to be noted and to represent in ourselves as well.
I love that it was like the first like big feud that you got into the second you came into AEW. It was like, here's Bryan Danielson. And we're like, yes, because that's exactly what the fans want. So I'm glad that there was like no stalling, no taking forever to get to that. So that was really cool. Well, it got me thinking, you know, like you mentioned right now that you almost thought like you would never get to wrestle Bryan Danielson. When you think of wrestlers from the past that are either now retired or, you know, whatever, like, is there certain wrestlers that you're like, man, if the timing, if I was, you know, around during that time, or they're around during my time, that I would have loved to face? Who are those guys that you're like, damn, I would have loved to know what it's like to get in the ring with them?
That's a difficult one. I mean, I guess like one of them would have been like, unfortunately passed away, and obviously the incident that happened. But like, I would love to have wrestled Hayabusa. But like, obviously, like, way different like time periods in wrestling. I think obvious one would probably be Shawn Michaels. I would love to have wrestled him. Like that would, like, I feel like that would have been cool. But I mean, Nigel McGuinness would be cool, and like to see that he's getting back into ring shape. Like, I mean, that's something that I generally could do. Like, he was a big inspiration of mine in the British scene, so that was great. But it's kind of strange. Everybody that I've ever like looked up to within wrestling, I've got some type of match under my belt with them. So, like, the guys I enjoyed growing up were, like, Amazing Red, AJ Styles, Naomichi Marufuji, Hayabusa, and, flipping out, I'm forgetting one. I can't remember who he is. But, like, those are the guys that I've wanted to do. I wrestled AJ, and AJ, oh, Ricochet, that was the other one. Like, Ricochet was that match at the Super Juniors. AJ, like, was one of my first New Japan guys that I ever wrestled. I finally got to wrestle Naomichi Marufuji on his anniversary show. I brought Amazing Red back from the dead. And, like, the Hayabusa one was real special for me just because I always wanted to do, like, a little tribute to him when I was in New Japan. But I never, like, just to wear the mask because I don't have any type of connection with him at all. So I found his daughter on social media and I took her out for dinner and I asked politely if it would be okay if I could wear the mask. And I decided to wear the mask. She gave me the blessing. I wore the mask in Japan, then I auctioned it off and I gave the money to her family. And I'd like to do it again because Hayabusa was such a huge inspiration for me when it comes to wrestling. So I would like to do it again and do it on a bigger stage like what AEW is.
Oh, man, I love that story. That's very thoughtful that you were able to do that and that even happened. That's really awesome. Will, do you miss Japan? Because, you know, you were there so often. How does it feel to not be there as often?
I keep telling my missus, like, I really do miss it. I miss the camaraderie, more or less. I miss the United Empire boys. I miss, honestly, some of the memories that I do have. And shout out to my boy, Hanare. But, like, we'd be in, like, this bumfuck nowhere town called Ehime. And nothing happens in Ehime. There is nothing. There's a castle, but other than that, there is nothing. And like your Wi-Fi box isn't working. So me and him would come downstairs in the hotel lobby and we're going to walk in this direction and we're just going to hope for the best. And like, honestly, it would turn out to be like one of our best nights ever. And the fact that like, I want to shout him out as well because Hanare's making his comeback. He was a part of my last match in New Japan in that crazy like Cage of Death match that we'd done. And the guy actually nearly died. Like, he lost so much blood. I've never been more uncomfortable in a ring. Like, I mean, one of these days I will tell that story about, like, how Hanare nearly died in a New Japan ring on my last night there and still had enough in him to slap the fuck out of Gabe Kidd. And, Gabe Kidd made eye contact with everyone in that fucking room. Like, it was insane. Hanare, honestly, is a beast. And that, he isn't human, man. Like, I don't know what he was, but the amount of blood, like, honestly, when his head was split open, I was the first guy that went over there and he had his hands over his head and he went, I think I'm going to die. And I was like, what do you mean you're going to die? I went, take your hands away from your head. And I'm not even joking you. I could fit four fingers in his head. Like, it was so bad. It was the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And they locked the cage door so he couldn't get out. So it was just a point where, like, I think he's going to die. Look.
So how long did he go like that with the split?
A table just got thrown at his head, eh? Like, it was just, there was chaos. A table got thrown at his head and, like, it just split. Honestly, it was one of the worst fucking things I've ever seen in my entire life. I'm not, like, I'm not even joking. The moment he put his hands away, my hands just were covered in blood. I couldn't believe it at all. And I was trying to put pressure on it. We had a trainer come into the cage to put pressure on it. And he just, the guy was an animal. He just put a fucking towel on his head and taped it up and got back in the ring.
Oh my God. That's just terrifying.
He's different. He's built different, man. He's the fucking toughest guy I've ever met in my entire life.
Damn, well, what a memory to leave off with, right? You ain't never going to forget that.
The funny bit was he came to dinner afterwards. He went to the hospital, got stitched up, and came out for dinner.
No. You're like, you should be at home or something.
You should, but fuck me. The guy's a warrior. Guys, those New Zealand boys are just built different.
Yeah, for reals. You're telling me. That's freaking awesome. Well, Will, I know we're just about out of time right now, but before we go, I do have one last question just to try to get in, and that is Okada coming into AEW. I wanted to get your thoughts and reactions for when that happened, and that'll be my last question.
Okada coming in, I mean, look, we're always going to have that connection. We're always going to, like, he's always going to be my big brother, right? But I think it's just, I guess one day our paths will cross. But until then, I think he needs to do his thing and I need to do my thing. And one of these days we'll revisit that scoreboard because I think it's something stupid like 8-2. I've got a lot more wins to get out of him.
Nice. I know the fans definitely want to see that. So, Will, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today. It was always a great time to see you. And I can't wait to watch Double or Nothing. Please let the people know where they can watch Double or Nothing or anything you want to plug before we go.
Yeah, it's on Fight TV, isn't it? It's everywhere.
Is it on the Zone?
The Zone, that's it. I don't know how to spell it. I'm dyslexic as it is. And they're creating new words. What are you creating new words for? Dyslexic champion. When I win the international champion, I'm going to create my own language. That's what I'm going to do.
For all my dyslexic kids out there. Hell yeah. Will, thank you so much to everybody watching. Do not miss AEW Double or Nothing this weekend. We'll catch you guys on the next one. Bye, everyone.
God bless.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.